Roll call.
We have a roll call, please.
Yes, Director Farrow?
Yes.
Director Griffin?
Here.
Director Hickey?
Here.
Director Kane?
Here.
Director Shefferin?
Here.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to invite public comment on non-agenda items. And I would ask that those comments be limited to 2 minutes or so. And I would remind board members that if you make public comment, that we are not allowed by the Bryan Act to actually discuss those items at a board level because they're not on the agenda. So with that in mind, is there any public comment?
I have a quick update.
Please.
I just came from a tour of the pavilion. So if I look like I have hard hat hair, that's why. But it's
so
really exciting to see as it's coming along, and just wanted to share with all of you because you've helped us give birth to this baby. I think our grand opening that we hope is going to be in November is probably going to slip out into the early part of 2014, partly because...
Oh, what a surprise.
Oh, gee. Yeah. You know, I say every 2 months I slip a month, but I just want to share a couple of comments with you. We heard from our cardiac surgeons yesterday. They got a special tour by themselves. When they walked in the ORs that are going to be where they do the work, they were just oohing and awing about the spaciousness of it and so excited, and actually said, compared to some of the other new hospital rooms that they've seen, ours is even going to be better. So just wanted to share that the project is coming along. The elephant is going to be born.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
We're meeting here today 2 weeks after a regularly scheduled meeting by request of President Shefferin. The reason given for that schedule change was that two board members were out of town. That still left a quorum to conduct business on the regular meeting day. It turned out that today was also a better day for CEO Lee Mickelson. District policy calls for regular meetings to be held on the first Wednesday of even-numbered months. Notice of the meeting dates for 2013 were sent to all directors and staff on October 16th, 2012. Changes in policy are normally made at meetings open to the public. The meeting should have been held on a regularly scheduled date and then continued to today's date if necessary. Had the two directors, Shefferin and Farrow, given sufficient advance notice, it might have been possible to stagger their absences to avoid disrupting their official schedule. The least they can do is explain why their personal plans take precedence over their public duties. And I have a copy of this I'd like to enter into the record.
I have a report, I guess. Should I go ahead?
Sure.
I guess this is on behalf of Jerry, Art, and I regarding the annual ACHD meeting that we attended. The main thing that I was really impressed with, and I probably thank Lee too, who's on the Education Committee, in the past, a lot of the sessions have been more focused on hospital-based districts. And I think there was a really wide and concerted effort not to do that. And they had two sessions on media relations, which in Lee's report, we had a program here. Also on what's called Skelly, which was a 1975 Supreme Court decision. And it has to do with the rights of employees of public agencies to in disciplinary procedures, that they have to be notified and they can have representatives, et cetera. Very much like anything would happen in a union setting, but it's not normal in a private setting, but it is there. And they also had on a luncheon session, Let's Get Healthy California, and a breakout session also by Beach Cities, who has instituted a blue zone. And they have been extremely successful in bringing together their communities. They have what they call blue zone grocery stores and restaurants, et cetera, and in addition to a lot of health programs. So it was really interesting, and I think Lee and I talked about how it would be helpful for here, and that's it. Thank you.
I would like to comment also on my participation at that meeting. I think the blue zone presentation was probably one of the best, just a whole different way of looking at how to influence broad community health from a way that was certainly not done here, so that was very helpful. Also, I was able to make contact with one of the other CEOs and get a additional CEO evaluation package that they use that I think also will be helpful to the district going forward as well. So it was a very worthwhile meeting for me.
Well, I guess I don't have to talk about the Blue Zone project that I was going to do. I think it's something when we develop our strategic plan, it's one of the items that I think we should look at and see if we want to get involved and do that. And the only other comment I have is meeting with other board members and CEOs of other districts. We certainly have nothing to be ashamed of. We do as well or better than most of them.
Any other public comment? If not, go on to the consent calendar.
Move approval.
I'd like to remove the minutes of the last meeting.
Okay. Motion to approve the financial statements on the consent calendars. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Jack, you want to?
Yes, on the on item 5E, the attorney report on health care benefits for sitting board members. We passed a motion, and then following the entry in the minutes of that motion, there's a statement that says directors who receive the additional benefits based on the increase between January to June of 2013 will not be required to repay those amounts, as the increase was voted on based on the best available information at that time. The discussion, if you listen to the audio tape, which is up on my website, I would hope that we would put ours up on the website now that they're in digital format. That if you listen to that, you will clearly hear that there was discussion as to whether how the money was going to be paid back was the main issue. And when we passed the motion, it was then we went into a discussion about how we were going to pay it back. And Mark opined that, well, you did it in good faith, and so maybe you don't have to pay it back. And so we wound up with this statement. I think this statement is inappropriate. I think that this should have been continued as an item that the board would take action on, or that administratively it would be handled, that the money would be paid back. It was not my intent when I voted for that motion to not have that money paid back.
Well, you're, if I can just respond, Jack, when we voted on that motion, the payback was not part of the motion, so
that's
when you voted for it, you simply voted and agreed to the new approach for health insurance, correct?
Well,
instead of $1,500, it was going to go back to $1,200.
$1,500 going back to $1,200,
but
the effectivity date is the problem. For some reason, the effectivity date, you had asked that it be January 1st. And then there was some discussion about how that administratively it would be better to make it July 1st. I don't know what that was all about.
But that's what was passed.
But that's what was passed, yes.
Okay. So you don't argue with the motion that was
No, I don't. I argue with the fact that we're left with an item that we haven't taken care of, which is that payback of the monies. And if that is not going to be done, then I will make a motion to reconsider the original motion.
Yeah, if you want to do that, we can take that up under just after the end of new business if you want to bring that up.
Yeah, I would like to do that because I don't want to leave that open. I mean, if it could be handled without doing that, if there was an agreement that money would be paid back, then we could get past this.
How can you do that? It's not on the agenda.
We're not going to be able to do anything now. What option you have is to bring it up as a possible agenda item for a future meeting.
Well, the motion to reconsider would put it on the table.
But there is, it's not on this agenda, so nobody, you know, we got 230,000 members. None of them know that we might be discussing this at this meeting.
Mark can clarify this on the motion to reconsider. Doesn't it? It automatically goes back on the table for consideration. Because it was the last meeting, and the motion to reconsider applies to an action taken at the last meeting, and if it's presented by a person who voted for the measure, they have stature to do that?
Well, my view is that the Brown Act controls our meeting here, and if it's not on the agenda, we can't take a vote on it. What we can do, and oftentimes have done in the past, is if there is something that needs to be reconsidered, then there's a procedure for a board member to ask that something be placed on a future agenda. The policy, I believe, is 8.2 or 8.3. And if that request is seconded and approved by a majority of the board, then that will put it on the agenda for the next meeting. And then members of the public will have adequate notice that that's an action that the board can take. But it's not on the agenda for tonight's meeting, and therefore you can't vote on it.
My understanding of the motion to reconsider is that it can be made either at the meeting at which the motion in question was passed, or at the next immediate meeting, and this is the next immediate meeting. And the effect of it is that it will be up for consideration by the board at the time of that motion.
I'd stand by my opinion that if it's not on the agenda, you can't vote on it, period.
So we have a ruling by our attorney.
Yes,
so
and I would like to see the citations that for that in at some future time. I don't need them right now.
Okay.
And I will still make the motion to reconsider and put it on.
We can do that at the new business. You can do that at that time. So going back to the minutes of the meeting, I would still ask for approval of the
so
minutes.
Second.
Without changing the wording?
Correct. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the wording.
Absolutely is something wrong.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the...
Hopefully
you may not like the outcome, but that's different than the wording. So, all in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion carries. We'll move on then to CBO staff reports.
First of all, I can't remember the last time we had the entire staff here at one of these board meetings, so it's all five of us are available if there's any questions or concerns on anything that's in front of you. Just point out two or three things, and then turn it over to Pamela and Jennifer and Glenn. And then we do have a short video we'd like to share with you tonight of one of the school programs that, and Pamela will introduce it. Don was produced it. So, a couple of things I want to mention in my report number 6, the San Mateo Medical Clinic. I do want to let everyone know that we have now paid $3 million against our $4.3 million pledge of support, with the other $1.3 million to expected to be paid by December. The clinic is at this point planning on opening end of this year, and there will be a grand opening of some type. I have been told that we will be asked to be involved in the planning of the grand opening, and it's more, as soon as I know what's happening, I'll let you know more. But we have fulfilled a good chunk of our pledge there, and so that's going extremely well. I want to point out number 8 also before I move on, and that is the Healthy Kids program. I sit currently on the planning committee for Healthy Kids, or the review committee. Pamela will be taking my place on that committee. Next meeting, I believe, is in around October, November. And Healthy Kids, I think everybody knows what that program is all about. But right now there are 4,700 children enrolled in that program. With the new Affordable Health Care Act, it appears that about 700 of those kids will transfer into Medicaid, Medi-Cal, before January. And it will leave about 4,000 children. One of the things I'm monitoring is that if that 700 reduction of 700 children, or whatever that number shakes out, whether or not that will reduce the need for our financial commitment. You would think that it may, because we're giving $1,350,000 for 4,700 kids. If this goes down to 4,000 kids, that may bring about a reduction. So once we see the numbers in terms of how many actually continue to be enrolled and where that 700 kids, those 700 children came from, we'll better make a better judgment. Right now, we've budgeted $1,350,000 for this fiscal year, but we want to take a close look at that, because that number, we may suggest a lower number based on enrollment.
Question on that, Lee. Yeah. Is the 700 somebody's calculation of what they believe could be transferred? Does that require actually reaching out and getting those 700 to voluntarily do it, or does that happen automatically?
Okay,
or
so those 700 children, as I understand it, it does require a reach out to those families, but as I understand it, the reach out is that you will no longer qualify for Healthy Kids, okay. But you do qualify for this program. So it won't be an alternative or a choice. Essentially, they will be removed at some point from the rolls placed into this other program. So the choice for them will be either the Medi-Cal program or no program at all. It won't be to stay in Healthy Kids. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that we are monitoring that to see what impact that may have on us from a financial perspective.
The Children's Health Initiative is what I understand we contribute to.
Yes.
And you use Healthy Kids.
Well, that's
that is
the program of Children's Health Initiative that we're funding. They have other programs within the Children's Health Initiative, but we're not funding those programs. So we're only funding the Healthy Kids component of that program.
I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
But Healthy Kids goes away totally.
No.
No. Wow.
No, because there will still be 4,000 children that will not qualify for the Medi-Cal program or any other program.
But they could go to the exchange, right?
They can't go to the exchange because they're undocumented.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, Lee, what's the status of the HeartSafe program?
We have formed under a task force with Kim and Katie and myself and a few others to look at that, and task force meets starting next week with Glenn and others, and we hope within 2 months to come back to the board with our suggestion as to where this program stands, whether or not we move forward with it, and if so, under what conditions, or whether the task force feels it's best to do something else.
The original September objective of
probably won't happen in September, but yeah. It will happen before the end of this calendar year in terms of our recommendation. As you know, if assuming the task force moves forward and comes to some collective decision as to what direction we're moving in and how it might shake out. So again, our first meeting's next week, and everything's on the table from taking a really new look at this whole program,
Lee, I just had one question on your number one regarding the media training. I understood that at this meeting from Tom Peterson that one of the stumbling blocks, all these healthcare districts that was Peninsula, El Camino, et cetera, had difficulty answering the question of what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that maybe that could be part of our discussion in our strategic planning meeting, so that we come up with a unified message.
Mm-hmm. We have a unified mission right now, which is important that we continue to remind everyone of that. But one of the reasons that we created that was just because we have a lot of people that come in this room, come for meetings, and they repetitively ask some basic questions about the district. But this was a chance to just have a few key bullet points to give some simple explanation that we are a special district, that we've been around since 1946, with local elected board. And so that was just I know that's exactly not what you're not exactly what you're addressing, but that was an attempt to clarify with some bullet points some of the basics of for the the community that comes here to have some understanding of who the district is and how long we've been around.
Right, and I know one of the other things that was brought up a lot in the media training at different places, or from what I understand, was the district getting on having a Twitter account and a blog, et cetera. I don't understand a lot of that stuff, so maybe we need an education system.
We've had two discussions so far. One, which Don and I attended with a company that works in that area, and then Pamela and I also met with the same group as it related to the school program. We've not made a commitment. We don't really know how to move forward with it. We do expect a proposal from them as to what they can do for us in terms of the school program, and then what that would cost. But they were looking at Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and a few other programs. Right now, we're not on any of those things.
Can't we just get on a Facebook page? Can't we just form our own Facebook page? Why do we have to hire somebody to do it?
Well, I don't.
Or maybe
really
it's more complicated.
Honestly, I can be honest with you.
I'm talking
not,
in the wind.
And that's something, Don, if you want to speak up, I'm not really sure how you even create a Facebook page.
Why do we need one?
But
just to let the inform the public more.
Well, there
a lot of districts that have them are getting a lot of hits on this stuff. Yeah.
One of the reasons we had a discussion with the schools, I'll be quiet about it, is the fact that we have a younger demographic within the school that we're serving. 27,000 or so children and their parents. Many of them that do communicate through some of the social media formats. And since we're doing so much in the schools, we have so many positive messages that we're trying to get across. We did think that that is worth at least looking into. But at this point, I say, we're sort of in the, we've had two discussions and we're sort of in the preliminary stages of even looking into what this might be.
I think it is logical for us to look at that. I mean, just, be cautious about, how much more staff time or staff we have in order to actually make this effective and how many people will it actually impact to make that a logical choice. So, it seems like the thing to do, but I'm not sure yet whether the payoff in terms of work effort is there yet. We have to evaluate that. So I would hopefully at a future meeting you can bring that back.
Yeah.
I would like to be involved in the discussions that you have on this. I understand we have WordPress on our website, and that does lend itself to communications between our constituency and the district. And I'm loathe to use these social media. I don't use them myself. I know some people do use them very successfully, but I don't want to get involved in that much personally.
Well, I'll commit to that before we move forward with anything. This will be totally hashed out among ourselves and brought to the board with any suggestions that we have.
You would just Twitter your response to us.
It's tweet. Mr. President, if I could just add that there's also an issue of policy and staff training involved in that also, because in addition to the major issue of staff time, it's very time consuming.
Okay.
Yes, my daughter spends a lot
so
of time.
So, would you like to?
Could you introduce yourself and your title?
Yeah.
Thank all of you for positively responding to the panel of for a new situation.
Yeah, thank you. I think I'm aging here. I think it was 7 years. It was August 15th, was 7 years. And a lot's been going on, and I did have my review with Lee, and I guess it went well, because I think it's Director of Grants and Programs, or Programs and Grants.
Whatever you want.
Deciding that.
Whatever your business card ends up saying.
I'm going to be very brief, because I want to show you guys a video, and it's about 6 minutes. So I think that's the majority of what I'm going to talk about, but just to review quickly what's in here is spent a lot of the summer in developing the MOUs, the contracts, the agreements with the school districts, our PE Plus partners, and our nonprofits, and we're caught up with all of that. We're in the works with PE Plus still,
A few things hanging out there. But the grant checks should all, just about all be going out. And you have that report that I apologize was like in a 0.7 font, but you should have a nice larger copy that Jeannie made you. So if you have any questions on that, let me know. Jennifer will tell you what she's been doing because there's been a lot going on with the training and such in that area with PE Plus. And the school districts have been mostly closed for the summer, but we're just now beginning to wrap up with wellness coordinators. I work with them at the beginning of the year to work on their work plans and their schedules and so forth, so that we're all on the same page and communicating. And so that's been the majority of my work this summer. We did do a really fun thing at the very last day of school, last week of school, in the fall, or in the spring. And Dawn produced this great video.
You have programs on track, and you have, yes, and you recommend a second half funding, yes, and some of them don't have any.
No, if you look, this is their
one of them has no, and
oh,
I just wondered about the ones that didn't have any yes or no comment.
The Dream Group.
Yeah, the Young Dream. There was one that the program midway wasn't going as well as they had hoped it would go. It was supporting some youth enrichment programs, and then the youth just, they didn't have the time to really put into the project.
That's the Young Dreamer.
So
one.
That was the Young Dreamer.
Well,
so they didn't get their
no.
second half of funding.
But the ones that you don't have anything of regarding program on track.
Okay.
I don't know if it's on track. Or
they are. Everyone with that one is on track. Unless you see it, a no, it's not. And that's the only one. That's the only one we've really had any big concerns with, and that we haven't.
Yeah, there's another one. It says Starvis and Council of Service.
No, it's just a.
All right. Let me mention that on the grant situation, just so I want to be clear that everybody understands that. We give half the money up front on a grant. We evaluate mid-year. If they are not performing, we have the option of not giving them the second half of the grant. And now, getting back, the first half is not necessarily as easy because we've given the first half front and they've expended some money in planning, organizing, and so forth. But in this particular case of this particular organization, Pamela and I agreed, came to a conclusion that they didn't warrant the second half of the grant, so we just simply didn't pay it. And so we have the option of holding either all of it back or a portion of it back. And they understand that when they receive their contract with us, that they do have an understanding it's the reason we don't give 100% up front is that we want to maintain the ability that if they're off target or they're not doing the project, that we have the ability not to pay the second half. Mm-hmm. So that's just the explanation on
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Lee, for clarifying that. And there are times that we have to hold the check. They may end up getting it. Sometimes, especially in school programs, a lot of the work doesn't really kick in until, you know, January and February. And so we kind of delayed the midterm reports until January, where some others are due in December. And then usually they catch up with everything they said they were going to do by.
Pamela, I know you've answered this question, and I apologize. This money comes from our Children's Health Initiative?
Yes.
Project?
It comes from the Healthy Schools Initiative, and it's not part of the regular grants funds.
Right.
It used to be, and then we separated that into and put these grants into the Healthy School Initiative.
Okay.
She has Pamela, and I answered.
Okay.
Before you leave,
This is self-explanatory?
Yes. Yeah.
It pretty much tells its own story.
Okay.
It tells its own story.
You can talk about it, answer questions. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
Paula Grossman. I'm director of Sequoia Healthcare District's Healthy Schools Initiative. And Mustangs Eat Salad. Henry Ford School launched a wonderful event a couple of weeks back, and I wanted to talk about that event for a moment because that was a culmination of all of the work that we do around the Healthy Schools Initiative. The initiative was launched 4 years ago in an effort to really promote and protect the mental health and the physical health of the students who, of our residents who attend the local K-12 schools.
When the healthcare district has some opportunity to have interventions on school lunches, we started focusing on really looking at their diet and seeing if there are ways to improve their diet, as well as exercise at the same time. And so, you know, we also recognize that kids, if you don't prepare things in a way that's attractive, they'll pass it by. So the idea of chopping up apples, chopping up carrots, chopping up vegetables, putting in a salad makes it a lot more enticing to kids.
The event was really showed this partnership, this amazing support that we've had with this initiative through school administration, leadership, our local elected officials, and our community to come together on one cause, and that is to really help kids to improve their health. And the best way we can see doing that, and the most efficient or effective way we've seen our school's ability to promote by encouraging to eat fruits and vegetables. What's the best way? They brought salad bars to every school.
It was a real treat to get to share in the event with the kids and staff. It was very special to see the kids when we arrived on campus as active as they were at the various field competition events and PE activities that they were doing. But then to see them come together in the assembly format and really listen to the adults sharing with them how important it is to eat a well-balanced diet, how important salad is as part of that well-balanced diet in terms of vegetables and the vitamins and all the good things that you get as you eat salad. I was just impressed with the enthusiasm that the kids had, and I also, once the salad bar was up and running, was fascinated watching how kids interacted with it, how excited they were that it was there, and then also how appetizing and appealing all of the different vegetables and lettuce and different options that were in the salad bar were for kids, and they were obviously very engaged with them as well. I think overall what the Sequoia Healthcare District and the Redwood City School District are doing as they're partnering is doing such a great job of helping kids learn about healthy eating, how important physical activity is, how important it is to really think about water first as the beverage of choice, and then as they're having their meals at school to be sure that they're getting the vegetables in the form of salad that really helps them to live what they're learning about.
One of the things that going to visit Henry Ford School, I was really delighted to see the kids involved in exercise. And then I actually followed them to the cafeteria to see what kind of choices they were making. And they were all making really healthy choices. They were choosing salad, they were choosing chopped up strawberries, chopped up apples, as well as a sandwich. And so I think the health care district has been incredibly successful at promoting exercise, promoting health,
I had the opportunity to be at Henry Ford School in Redwood City for the Salad Run event, which was really a milestone for our 16 schools that we have in Redwood City to be able to have the opportunity for kids to have a choice to have healthy foods. As the mayor of Redwood City, to me, this is very important to know that the children of our schools are getting fed the right portions and exactly the right type of food, especially salad. They were so excited. We talked about the different types of salad. They had now a new option, a new choice in our schools. And I think that that's a benefit to what we have in our community. We have partnerships. We partner with the Sequoia Healthcare District, with the city, with our schools. This is such a valuable collaboration to look for and to help the children in our community so that they eat healthy and that they study better and that they are future leaders of our community.
The Henry Ford Mustangs Eat Salad event was really, it's one event of an ongoing campaign to encourage children, encourage, educate them to have lifelong fitness and lifelong healthy nutrition habits. So we will be seeing many more of these kinds of events, a big water promotion campaign in the fall. And this again is just really exemplifies the partnership that we have with our school district and our community that we continue, we believe will continue.
That's pretty good. You sure showed your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I know.
What's the distribution of this? What's going to happen with it?
Well, we are going to have it on our website. We'll have links and connections up to this on the school district website. And what are some other...
The Henry Ford PTO.
We are... We're first validating the ability to distribute to the public with the images of the children, because some of them want to make sure that they haven't opted out. So we're making sure of that, but afterwards the sky's the limit. We'll get it as far as
we can. Is there any way of photoshopping and putting a carrot in Pam's hand or something?
You know,
I put a carrot broccoli in the horse's mouth.
Photoshop is a carrot in my mouth.
How are we measuring whether the obesity rate's going down in these schools?
A good question.
Because the newspaper says it isn't.
With a scale.
It's done in 5th, 7th, and 9th grade. Every 5th, 7th, and 9th grader has the physical fitness test, and BMI is by BMI.
At the beginning of the school year, or?
I think it's later in the school year.
But it's tricky, though.
Yeah.
Your BMI is going to be going up as you grow, so.
Right, but it's within a healthy fitness zone.
Right.
So by that grade, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but do we know how they were before?
We have baseline, and that was partnering with the Gardner Center to do the baseline research, because they have the history. And so we can start looking at the trend as we go along. And it's still too early to really know whether or not we have made an impact with what we're doing. We can affect it. We can look at relationship, but to really measure that it was what we're doing that actually caused the outcome, that's going to take some time to do.
In terms of taking time, it was 3 years ago that we first had a discussion with the food service people at Redwood City about a salad bar in every school. And at the time, the reaction was, no, this is going to be too much trouble to make that happen, because we have to chop everything up, we got to have these salad bars, it's labor intensive, we can't do it. And so it was until 3 years later that now every school has a salad bar. So it's an ongoing process of continuing to keep pushing the messages over and over and over again, and the importance of these things. And so, again, that was a discussion we had 3 years ago, and it took 3 years to they finally came to the understanding of it's important. And it was important that they serve the kids better food. And it's not only us, but you know, it's the messaging that comes out of the White House. It's the messaging that comes out of every place else that keeps reinforcing this, that has an impact over a period of time.
And it has an impact on the discipline of the kids who are feeding themselves in the trade. Initially you think, oh my God, they're going
to
trash.
Well, that was one of the reasons why they objected to it in the beginning, was that they thought it would not only would be totally chaotic. And this was a new concept for many of these children to do that.
I would think that it would improve their discipline.
So the only thing I want, and Jennifer wants together, we've talked about it, is I want the salad bar to look nicer, but that's a different story.
The only negative I saw was the string beans on the salad bar. It looked like somebody cooked the hell out of them.
They're definitely
canned. Pam, I'd like to congratulate you on this format, in spite of the font size. This was a very helpful way to be able to review the grant and see how it was doing. So
I think, as Lee pointed out, and I didn't get to it today, was a summary page of what all that says. I do it in the board, in the staff report, but then so you don't have to look back and forth, just so that you don't have to go through the whole thing if you just want to get a summary. So I'll do that next time.
But this really allows you to go through it pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was the point. But if you have questions.
Any other questions for Pam? Jennifer?
I'd just like to, after the video, I just wanted to say I was doing a training with the PE Plus coaches today on, did some revisions to the curriculum, and we are working more collaboratively with the food service. So the food service staff have been trained to understand that the PE Plus coaches now will be coming into the cafeteria, introducing themselves, helping to promote the Harvest of the Month taste testings in the cafeteria, and to promote overall healthy eating habits. So.
Do the school cafeterias, do they cater out their cafeterias, or are they school?
Some do, some don't.
Right. Right. Redwood City is a company that comes in and but is prepared on site.
Okay. And some don't have any kitchens at all.
Yeah.
Is it all integrated with the school lunch program, or is it the financing of the food and all that? Because I know that some schools, like Garfield, have 110% of the student body is getting free lunch.
Right.
Not only are they getting free lunch, in most cases, most of the kids are getting free breakfast and free lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So in most cases, at least in the Redwood City School District, two out of the three meals a day are coming at the school setting.
And in those schools that don't have food service, such as at San Carlos and in Belmont, they've changed since the initiative has come in. They're providers, so they're getting the most top, healthiest foods available and the freshest food to the kids. Organic choices when they can, and more fruits and vegetables, less pizza, less of that. And so we've been able to affect it, even if it's not a company that comes in. So we did some big strides.
Any other questions for Pam or Jennifer? Glenn, maybe you could tell us about Hartsfield.
Certainly. I'm sure you had an opportunity to take a look at my report. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer that. I did note on the second page there that we had an AED save in Foster City. A referee coached that one down by standards with CPR and grabbed a defibrillator. I'm happy to report that since I prepared that report, we had yet another save. Coincidentally, also in the city of Foster City. A woman was driving her husband to the hospital because he wasn't feeling well. He suffered cardiac arrest in the car somewhere on the streets in Foster City. Yeah. She called 911. The police officers showed up, grabbed one of our defibrillators that we put in the Foster City police cars, and shot that person twice and saved that gentleman's life. That was about 10 days ago. So, another good news of AED.
Great.
Also wanted to mention we had, again, connected to the school program and the PE Plus. Glenn did a training yesterday.
Yes.
With the
Monday, rather.
With the CPR for the
coaches
that are working with in the school.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we had a great training session here Monday afternoon.
That's just interesting. I thought it was the kids. That's how one.
Yeah.
The coaches look now.
They are young.
Yeah.
They are young.
Okay, under new business, strategic planning update.
Yeah, I think there's a couple pages in your booklet. What I've also done today is giving you an updated list of who's participating. We've had two sessions so far, two planning sessions, one an individual session with Don Horsley, and then we had a group session yesterday with four folks in the community leaders, and then we have another one tomorrow with six, and then we have three or four next week. So the process is moving along. The number of questions seem to be working out pretty well. Certainly had some very interesting input so far from. Right now, we've invited 60 people to participate. We have confirmation of 45. So far that are participating, and the other 15 we're still waiting to hear from, and a wide variety of folks from school board members to mayors of communities to lots of different nonprofit directors that are all participating and all very happy to provide information. So this is what we call our interview phase, which is taking place in August and September. In October, at the next board meeting, I will present what we heard in a report. And then we'll move into the stage in October and November of actually drafting a recommendation for the board to hopefully approve in December. So I know that each of you will be meeting with Peter Burchens very soon. We've asked him to do one-on-ones with each board member and to present you with the same questions that we're asking everybody else. And that's scheduled for either next week or the following week with each of you. So happy to answer any questions, but the process seems to be moving along pretty well, at least I think so. I don't know if Jerry and Art want to comment on the process.
Well, first two sessions I think were very informative for me personally. I think it proved the value of the format that we're using. We got great responses from the participants. In fact, very enthusiastic responses. I think they all appreciated being included in the discussion. So I'm hopeful that we'll get a really great community perspective by the time we're finished.
Yeah, I agree. The first two, I think I'm looking forward to hearing some other comments from people, because so far the ones we've talked to are all very supportive of the district. I want to hear what others have to say, some of whom may not know anything about the district, and some of whom may feel like, Jack, that there shouldn't be a district. So we're trying to get an equal a balance so that we can hear all points of view. It's going to be tedious. It's very time-consuming. And a lot of it's going to be repetitive for us, but nevertheless, I think that we'll boil it down to something positive.
Do directors get to recommend five people to be part of the process? I wasn't aware. Am I allowed?
Not necessarily a certain number, but will you can certainly recommend people.
You can recommend.
Are you still taking?
Just let them know.
Warren Gibson would be a very good one, because he's very knowledgeable. And he's very knowledgeable.
We have on here number 8, Hospital Consortium ED.
Yeah, the executive director of the Hospital Consortium.
Are we speaking to any directly?
Francine Serafin Dixon.
Are we speaking to any of the hospitals directly?
Well,
like Sequoia?
We're hoping.
My appointment's set for Friday.
Thank you.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm hoping Glenn is on that.
Thank you.
Among that, and then certainly the health clinics are represented. The County Medical Association, which is new for us, are represented with two people.
Does everybody have one?
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly any other recommendations.
Yeah, if any board member has an additional recommendation. Keeping in mind that there's only so many hours in a month, but
has Matt Grobnow been invited?
The mayor of his city has been invited.
But he's not mayor anymore.
No, so the mayor of each of the cities, of the 8 cities, have been invited to participate, and he's in San Carlos, so I believe Bob Griselli is the mayor there. It's difficult when you, you can recommend that, but it's difficult when you just do all the city council members, because there's 50 or 60 of them when you add them all up. So we decided to ask the mayor of each of the communities.
Okay, moving on to the draft reply to the grand jury. This is an action item. Is there any public comment about the response to the grand jury before we go into it? You have the entire response that we are proposing be submitted to the court as our response. I'm not going to go through it other than to say, first of all, that I think it's a pretty positive, in fact, quite positive grand jury report. There are a couple of questions that required explanation, which Lee and his team worked hard to provide a logical explanation to the grand jury and the court about why the programs exist and why district funds are being used. Obviously, there were a number of comments that don't directly relate to the control of the district, in which case we did not take a position because that's up to LAFCO or others. So I would entertain any discussion from board members about the intended response.
Regarding the LAFCO, I think that the district could take a proactive role and should. LAFCO made reference to the El Camino Healthcare District, and I read their study of them, 60 pages or 70 pages, a very good service review that was done by their consultant. Excellent. I think that it basically gives an audit that we don't get with our regular auditor, but it would be an audit of our district as to, you know, where the recipients are getting it. It would give more information than the grand jury was able to garner as far as who's benefiting from the taxpayers' money. And I think it would be very useful. I would like to see the district get all of the others involved. It's something like $60,000, $70,000 that would cover the cost of one of these studies for both the peninsula and the square. And by the way, I don't think that separating them is really that good of an idea. I think that you can save money by having the study made for both districts. And I would suggest that all of the people that are the ones who would benefit from this, the cities and the school districts, they all have an interest in this. And they all could contribute to the cost of this. And LAFCO doesn't have the money to do the study. And I think that if we took a proactive role in this to facilitate that, I considered myself writing to all of the cities and asking them if they would put money into this, because they stand to benefit from a resolution of the problems of districts that have difficulty keeping their spending from spilling out into other areas. And I obviously think that countywide healthcare district, if there is going to be a healthcare district, that countywide, with taxes coming from all the taxpayers, would be the proper solution. I think LAFCO tends to agree with that, but they don't have the body of research that El Camino got with their consultant. So I would like to see us not just say that it's LAFCO's problem, it's the district's problem. And I think that we should look at it as an audit, and auditing exactly where everything is going.
Well, Jack, I understand your question, and I don't dismiss it, but I basically, if you wanted to make a motion to amend this, to make that recommendation, you could do so, get a second, and approval, we could do so, and if not, it wouldn't. So I'll leave it to you if you want.
I would like to make a motion that the district should go beyond deferring to LAFCO, and that the district is considering a proactive role, and if the board would agree that we should do that, and in helping LAFCO to be able to contract for this.
So your motion is to change the response? To
change the response, yes.
Is there a second to the motion? In the absence of a second, motion dies. Any other comments about the report?
I had a couple. On F6, when it's referring to the nursing program and our tracking of the graduates of the program, I know that the first years were not tracked, but I also seem to recall, and Glenna, you might help me, that I think in at least the first 3 or 4 years, 100% of the nursing graduates stayed at Sequoia.
It was very close to 100%.
And
they were hired by Sequoia and then
right. But so I mean, I don't know whether you'd want to include that or not, but it's a comment, because I know there's been a lot of controversy about this, and everybody seems to ignore the first 4 or 5 years when 100% of the nurses stayed at Sequoia.
What?
And
100% of the nurses stayed at Sequoia? This is crazy. I mean, the numbers don't come anywhere close to that. I mean, we've got...
Jack, the first years of the program, 100% of the people were hired by Sequoia. I remember hearing that. Or damn close to it. Now, I mean, I don't even know if you were on the board at that time, but...
Oh, yes, I've been on the board the whole time.
And then the other one...
Let's take that one at a time if we can.
Oh, okay, sure.
So, if we change anything, I would just want to make sure that we have actual, factual...
Yeah.
Data that we're not going to submit another, you know, sort of opinion. So if there isn't that kind of data, I would caution us from putting in something that, and I don't think we do. I mean,
I don't know whether we could go back. I'm sorry.
I don't see any, I think it was close to 100, but not 100. And I don't see anything to be gained by changing what we're here now.
All right, fine.
Go ahead, Katie.
No, that's, the only other comment I have, and this probably, I don't know that it would be something that we'd put in the report, but on F8, when it talks about educational output, would there be any sense in, and I know, Lee, you're out and about in the community considerably, but what about forming a panel that also consists of some of the board members?
In other words, if people ask to have somebody from the district come and speak, then we would offer interested board members and or the CEO, if depending on who's available or interested. Is that?
I'm available.
We want people to speak positively about the district.
So I would say that the response here doesn't need to be changed, but I think what you're saying is that those of us who are interested should contact Lee and make ourselves available. Any other comments?
I move approval of this.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Motion passes.
I should probably mention that, as far as I could understand, the next step would be for us to send a official letter, on letterhead, to the judge with this report, and then that would be our official response. And then we will also put it on the website, and we will also send it to the media. We'll work on that starting tomorrow.
Lee, could we get a soft copy of the final so we can have it? We need to refer to it.
And when it's sent, it will somewhere indicate that this was reviewed and approved by the board.
In the cover letter to the judge, the letter will say that.
What does this do?
September 3rd. So but if we can get this done this week, we might as well get it done this week and get it out. And I did want to thank Don for his assistance in putting this report together.
It's really well written.
And if there's a pause, I can mention that the recommendation 4 on the last page, you're talking about the results for the nursing placements being posted on the website and fund size. We do specify that we're going to prepare the final information with that, so we can include that.
One of the recommendations included, also one of the recommendations was on for the Ravenswood data, was to put that on the website so that it showed how many residents, and I just got the report yesterday. So it's not on there yet, but the report just came in yesterday, so it will go up immediately.
Great. So under new business, Jack, you wanted to make a motion
to reconsider the action taken under 5E at the last meeting. The motion stated that effective July 1st, 2013, reset the health care benefit for sitting board members to a maximum of $1,200 with no percent, 10% payback. For newly elected board members, the benefit will be $1,500, maximum with a mandatory 10% payback to the district. And my motion is to is a motion to reconsider.
I don't think you can do it.
No.
What requires a second?
Mr. Hickey, through the chair.
Yes.
Under the Brown Act, because it isn't on the agenda, you can't make a motion to reconsider. What you can do is to request that staff be directed to place something on the agenda for the next meeting. So that if that you can make that request consistent both with the Brown Act and with the board policy.
Don't send me the citations regarding this motion to reconsider.
You want to write it down right now? About what you can do? 54.
Citations on what
Government Code 54954.2.
Please send
A.
it to me in writing.
If I'm directed by the executive, I'll do that. But that, yeah, I have the provisions right in front of me right here.
What is the number?
It's Government Code 54954.2A. Which is very clear that you can't take any action that's not on the agenda except for certain narrow things that are set forth in that section, which includes take action to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. That's kind of the limit of
citations relative to motion to reconsider and what that is. What did that constitute?
Yeah, I'm not going to debate with you, Mr. Hickey.
I make a motion we adjourn.
I'll second.
No, I would prefer to allow Jack to make a motion to put this on the agenda if he chooses for a future. He can to put this on the agenda for a future meeting.
I thought that he could ask to have it done, but it can't be a motion.
He can make a request.
Request, not a motion.
And then that has to be seconded by someone on the board to put that on the agenda for the next meeting. That's the intersection of the Brown Act and our board policies.
So do you want to make that request, Jack?
Yes, I would make that request.
Is there a second to that request? In the absence of a second, the request then is not approved.
May I move for adjournment?
I second.
The meeting is adjourned.